Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Doug Brook and Maureen Hartney, authors of the IBM Center Report, Managing the Government's Executive Talent. What tools can the incoming administration use to shape teams, move people, and bring in new talent? And what resources are required?
Sure. So ultimately, you want to help recruit and nominate those political leaders in blocks by functional position. So in that, we're thinking about all the deputy secretaries or all the chief financial officers could be recruited and appointed together. And then you want to make sure that the Senate confirmed directors of both the Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Personnel Management, as well as the Office of Management and Budget Deputy Director for Management, have those all appointed as a block.
Yeah, our thought there is that these common functions ought to be considered together instead of the appointments made ad hoc. So that, for instance, if you appoint all of the chief financial officers at the same time, they get to know each other. You start immediately building a good network of financial managers. They would go to Senate confirmation, certainly not all together, but nearly at the same time, facing the same kinds of questions from the Senate panels that they have to face. And the administration then can manage these, in this case, CFOs, as a group to make sure that they understand the priorities of the administration and that they can work together to advance those priorities. So we think bringing them in blocks gives the right prioritization to each of the functional areas where political appointees have to be put in place.
And then one of the other things that you can do to shape teams and bring in new talent is what Doug was talking about earlier with aligning accountability and incentives. So in that, if you are able to do that, if you're able to align both of those things, it may raise morale and it may help you have a more cohesive team dynamic. So those incentives aren't going to be focused simply on improving pay for senior leaders, but rather on helping to care for and develop your leaders, both the PAS and the SES together. So the accountability and incentives piece is key for managing these teams.
I think we paid a lot of attention to the issue of onboarding of political appointees. And the roundtable thought that one of the things that needed to be done was a proactive program for onboarding political appointees. And there are a number of ways that you can do this. You can have each agency can have its own political appointee orientation where career SES members and the political appointees get to know each other and they get oriented to the mission and issues and operations of the agency together. Small teams of career SESs could put together that kind of orientation. I recall when I went to the Department of Army as an assistant secretary that we were onboarded. We, all five assistant secretaries, were onboarded by a brigadier general who took us on a one-week tour of the Army. And we went to Army installations. We met people. We got to know our counterparts in the Pentagon. And we built a strong team of political appointees, senior executive career civilians, and military officers just by spending a week together and hearing the same things in those briefings and in those meetings. And I think that's a strong model that could be exported elsewhere.
Maureen, in the second half of your report, you offer the insights and options derived from the roundtable discussed in part one of your report, coupled with additional research. Would you elaborate on the key premises underlying each of your recommendations?
Sure. So these are some of the premises or the assumptions that we thought about once we are starting to develop our recommendations. So some of these come into the why do we care sort of piece of this report. So the first one is that executive management talent is actually critical to achieving the goals of the next administration. And that's why they should care about developing the executive management talent. So we know that there are many recent examples of government failure in management that undermine good policy. So like Doug said before, even though you have good policy and good ideas, you need to be able to have the people to carry out those ideas. So if the new administration's policy objectives are to be met successfully, and if you want to avoid failures, then they must be accompanied by strong, capable management. And the second one, we'll get to the point in the report where we recommend the creation of an executive management corps in which those political appointees and SES members with significant managerial duties are identified and managed. But an underlying premise to this and to the rest of the report is that the new administration must find the right managerial talent for that executive management corps. So both the PAS and the SES have to have the right managerial talent and the expertise. And we know that political appointees come from various backgrounds and that they have different policy and political considerations when the new administration comes to appointing those appointees. And the considerations are definitely legitimate. But for those appointees in those managerial positions, you want that additional qualification to be required, and that is that management capability. The third key underlying premise or assumption that we made is that the accomplishment of the management and policy goals of the next administration requires that strong working relationship between the PAS and the SES. So we call this the Political Executive Management Corps. So that's those top political appointees, and the Career Executive Management Corps. So those are the top level of SES members. So we talked about before how political appointees have that limited tenure in office. And by contrast, career senior executives often work their entire career in one agency or for one functional area. But what that means is that neither group singularly possesses what they need to have the broad policy, programmatic, and all the organizational knowledge necessary to manage their agencies and to solve the complex problems that come up all the time. So those two groups have to forge positive working relationships. That was our third underlying premise. And then the fourth one is that the government's executive talent pool requires proactive talent management. So we need to have a new strategy. The new administration must come up with a management strategy and then implement it. And once it's implemented, you have to actively manage those new developments that you've implemented. So possibly those top leadership teams that we could talk about, those have to be actively managed by the new administration as well. So that's the fourth underlying premise.
Maureen, why is the essential building block for an effective executive talent management strategy the creation of an enterprise-focused executive management team in the departments and agencies across the federal government?
Sure. So those enterprise-focused executive management teams are also possibly called top management teams or top leadership teams, and we followed on the scholarship of what's called top management teams in a lot of academic circles. So what we're imagining are small teams at the head of agencies that consist of both political appointees and SES members, so career senior executive service members, working together to further the agency mission as well as further the president's objectives and policies. So the creation of that government-wide enterprise-focused executive management corps will bring together those career and political leaders to create sort of shared expectations and objectives in the service of the president. So in joint executive management teams, those members should share ownership for the mission outcomes and then work across the departmental and functional boundaries to drive goal achievement. So that's what we're talking about when we say that we need to have accountability and incentives aligned. And then those accountability incentives have to be sort of similar between the political and career executives. Because when focused on shared goals and shared problems and shared missions, we know that leadership teams capitalize on both the power and the potential of both the political and career senior leaders. And then this broader focus encourages people to accept shared responsibility for pursuing and achieving those administration organizational goals. So if you have people working together and you align their objectives, then they sort of have a lot more buy-in to what the agency's mission really is.
What are some of the key challenges faced when implementing a government-wide executive management corps? We will explore this question and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors returns.